And we were talking about this a little bit backstage. It feels like every time that I would chat to someone from the women's soccer team, there is so much emphasis on the importance of having a league here, of the importance of kids being able to see in their own backyards the best of the best and to have that as a career development opportunity. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of people here know what the Northern Super League is, but if this is the first time that they've heard about it, why is this so important and what is it?
Yeah, the Northern Super League, Canada's Women's Professional Soccer League, kicks off next April across Canada in 6 markets. As you know, Vancouver, Calgary, Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, and Halifax. And it's about opportunities. It's about opportunities for girls and women having the right number of quality pathways to go all the way to the professional game so that there can be more opportunities for Canadian girls and women across the country, not just in a few markets. Because we've got the third largest player pool in the world when it comes to girls and women, and not enough places where they have a chance to play professionally and to play pro. So that's what it's about. It's about opportunities for players and referees and coaches and women in the media, women on the sport medical side, women in business. A part of the motivation to do this is I just wanted a job in Canada and I didn't want to have to move away again. So that's what the Northern Super League is about, creating jobs for women.
And I love that you mentioned that because a lot of the girls that we've spoken to, they do say that, you know, you have to leave your family behind and you have to create this incredible career for them to come back and get recognition. This is going to open up so many doors for so many women. What inspired the creation of this league? Was it your own career? Was it your own teammates? What was the vision behind this?
The inspiration was we need it. It was just so clear we needed it. There was only, you know, I'll say the growth of women's soccer around the world started a lot on the national team side. That's where all the investment went. There was Women's World Cups, so national teams started to invest in girls and women's soccer around the world. That's where the growth came. And what's happened over the last 5, 6, 7 years is all the investment is going into the professional side, into professional leagues, professional clubs. And that's because that's where, as soccer players, men or women, we spend 95% of our time versus just having a part-time thing with the national team. And I think, as a lot of us know, despite Canada being world-class at women's soccer, there was only 2 countries in last summer's Women's World Cup out of 32 teams that don't have a professional league, and it was Canada and it was Haiti. Despite us being world-class at women's soccer and having all the players, the investment just hadn't come. So I knew I wanted to be a part of that in any way possible. I spent 2 years just back at school, learning as much as I could, talking to as many people. Got a really good picture of how we could build in Canada. Got an even clearer picture of the time is now. 3-4 years ago, it was tough. The market wasn't quite there. And 3-4 years from now, we've almost missed it. We've gotten too late. We're not going to be able to catch up with the rest of the world. So the time is now. And I found that not enough people were working on it. So just started Project 8, devoted to building the Women's Professional Soccer League in Canada, and here we are, heading towards April.
You want something done right to it yourself, right? So what is the vision? I mean, you mentioned the next 3-4 years. Where do you see this going, and what would be your dream situation for the NSL in, let's say, 2026, 2027, or beyond?
And a lot of the people here are, you know, you're the soccer people. You're the women's soccer people. So you can help spread the word with this. But I think for us, it's really clear where we're going. We're late to the party in building a women's pro league. But the vision here is we can be a top 5 league in the world. Women's professional sport, women's professional soccer, it is so new. It's a new industry. Again, the real money's only started to go in the last 5, 6, 7 years. And in Canada, we have such incredible young girls. Again, third largest player pool in the world, so players we've gotten. We literally produce some of the world's best players, literally the GOAT, we know it, and so many more. There's 150 Canadian women playing pro abroad right now. We've got the market for it. Canadians support women's sport and women's soccer in a way that I'm telling you, I've been around the world. Is us in the U.S. are ahead of the rest of the world when it comes to supporting women in sport and women in soccer. So the market's here, the partnerships is here. You can see from the incredible sponsors and partners that are stepping up to support the league. So we've got it all, truly. And that's the vision. It's TBD over the next 10 years, who are going to be the top leagues in the world for women. And I'm telling you, Canada can be a part of that conversation.
And we do have such a strong support, as you mentioned, for female athletes. I see young girls in the crowd. I saw you pointed at yourself when she said the next stars of soccer here. We very well could be looking at some of them right here at the All-State Soccer Show. How can we support, you know, all of these young girls that dream about playing there one day, or that dream about just going and seeing their favorite players? What is what you need from us, the audience, to make sure that the NSL is a success?
Yeah, I've been asked this one a lot over the last 2 years, how can we help? And I've been mostly stealing a Billie Jean King answer, which is help in the way you can. If you've got tons of money and want to invest, invest. If you've got a company and want to sponsor, sponsor. If you've got a social media account, give the NSL and its clubs a follow. If you've got some, you know, you need an extra t-shirt, buy some merch. So that's kind of the answer I've been giving, help in the way you can. As of this week, very exciting, we announced our ticket deposit campaign. So the first time I've got an even better answer, something very tangible. You now can put down $50 and reserve a spot for your season tickets, which will come on sale later in the fall. So what can you do? Ticket, season ticket deposit, $50. You can buy merchandise from the NSL tent back there. Say hi to Joyce, she's the best. Some of the clubs have merchandise, and give the accounts a follow. Sign up for the newsletter. Those are the very specific ways now you can help and show the support by this league.
And you mentioned season tickets. The branding has been released for 5 out of the 6 teams. Can you take us through the teams? Can you give us a little bit of background on each one?
Yeah, we've got branding out for 5 of 6 teams. As you said, we've got Vancouver Rise, FC, Calgary Wild, FC, AFC Toronto, Ottawa Rapid FC, Montreal is yet to be announced. I believe that'll be coming up in the near future here, and Halifax Tides FC. And we're a franchise model. We're an ownership model. So all our clubs are owned by local owners, local ownership groups. So all the branding has come out of the communities themselves. And all the groups have worked with stakeholders in the community, soccer voices, women's sport voices, all the voices to make sure they have great impact or input. And it's all very, I think, organic in all the communities, the names.
And speaking of branding, Northern Super League, this name, this concept, what does it stand for and how did the idea come about? The name Northern Super League.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time trying to find a name for this league. I think league names are hard. It's hard to come, and you know, we've got, in North America, North American sport, as we know, goes very, like, say what it is on the tin. You know, National Hockey League, National Basketball League. But soccer, as we know, is very global and, you know, doesn't always have a country name in it, doesn't really say what it is. It's La Liga, Serie A. So we worked with a fantastic branding company in Toronto called Broken Heart Love Affair. We told them what we're about, what we're building. We challenged them to come up with something that was maybe a bit of global soccer, a bit of North America. And we also said, you know, do we need women in the title? Not necessarily. We actually thought it was more inclusive without women in the title. And I feel like they did brilliantly. They came up with something that says Canada without saying Canadian or Canada. I think they found a way to say soccer or football without saying either of those things. And I think it's a fantastic name and a super strong logo. So again, buy some merch. We got some great t-shirts in the tent. And if it's your friend's birthday, buy another one.
I see the star logo as well, so talk to us about that concept as well.
Yeah, the StarNet for the North Star, obviously the guiding point of what we're working on, our vision, the North Star being such a Canadian icon as well too. I think it points to the vision that we have in this league, to be one of the best in the world.
And I'm going to say, I love the colors. The merch is right over there in the back. I highly suggest you guys get a hat, you get a shirt. This is the best way that we can support women. But, of course, this is a great pathway for young girls, as we were saying. This is an opportunity for you to be able to achieve your dreams without having to leave your family behind. What's the best advice you have for a 5, 7, 10-year-old girl, 14 maybe, that says, okay, I can now achieve my dreams at home. How can I make the NSL? What's the pathway? What can you suggest?
I think for me, for young players, rule number one is always make sure you're having fun. That's it. That's what this is about. Do what you love, and if soccer's the thing, then just be willing to work hard at it. And for me, it always is a good idea to watch more soccer and find a player that you love. Find a player that you want to be like. watch that player. And then if they do a cool move or a cool pass or touch on the field and you want to learn how to do that, spend some time working on it and do touches at home with the ball, kick them against a wall if you've got a sister, a brother, or parents. All those extra touches at home working on the stuff that you want to be good at to be the player you want to be makes all the difference.
Perfect. And before we continue with more questions, I do want to let you all know that there is a QR code you can scan and submit questions as well. So if anyone in the audience has something that you want to know about the NFL or about Diana, please feel free to scan the QR code within the next 5 or so minutes so we can get your question. So now let's talk about the impact. So 2024, 2025, huge years for the NFL, for Canadian women's soccer. But beyond that, how do you think this is going to change the landscape of the sport in Canada? Again, not just for women, but all around.
Yeah, like I said, it's this league is necessary if we want to keep competing at the top of the international stage, like we've been doing in women's soccer for over a decade. If we want to keep being up there, the league is necessary because, again, the rest of the world's doing it. So all the players right now around the world are coming up in professional environments, and you can see it at the youth levels. Our youth teams aren't getting the success they used to have. And that's what this league is changing. We're going to have 6 new professional pathways across the country. And then as we expand as a league, that'll go to 7, then 8, then 9, and 10. So there'll be more opportunities for girls coming up through the system to play professional day in and day out. So we're going to have a wider national team pool. That, we're hoping, is going to strengthen the systems below it. So add investment and growth into League One and the other leagues because there's going to be more competition there. It's going to create more opportunities for women's coaches, which we know they're not enough of. And we're going to work with Canada Soccer on some of the great programs as well. There's a huge shortage of referees in general, and specifically women's referees, so this is going to create more opportunities for women's referees, and we know we create some of the best women's refs in the world too, so more opportunities for them, and it's going to shift the whole landscape. And I think one thing we're really hoping to see an impact to over the next 5-10 years is we know in Canada girls and boys start sport at a young age at the exact same rates, but we know that by the time girls and boys turn 18, when 1 in 10 boys has dropped out of sport by that age, 1 in 3 girls has dropped out of sport. And we know that has to do with a ton of issues like access to pathways, like the right mentors, like not having visible role models. So we're really hoping over the long term as well that we're going to impact some of those attrition rates in sport.
And one of the best ways to reach an audience and to make those changes is, of course, through media coverage. So how will you ensure that the Northern Super League gets the proper attention that it deserves?
Yeah, and visibility of what we're doing is so important for us from day one. We've seen in women's sport, you know, women's sports come from a place where it's had a lot of myths and biases. You could say, you know, no one watches women's sport. Women's sport doesn't make money. But it had never been treated like a business either. And what you've seen over the last 5 years is any time you put women's professional soccer on broadcast television, and we saw these numbers out of the Women's Super League in England, we saw them out of the NWSL when they moved to CBS, as soon as you put it where Canadians or the audience can watch it, viewership just grows and grows and grows, and the audience grows. Because again, it's a new industry, it's a growth industry, so when you invest in it and you put it in front of people, it starts to grow. So for us, fantastic media partners. We've got CBC, Radio Canada, TSN, and RDS, our media partners, and they're going to have a minimum number of linear broadcast games on television for Canadians to watch each season. On top of that, we work with our own partners, Dome Productions, and we're going to show all the games for you to air streaming. So you can find all our games. That's the plan. And a certain number of those will be on broadcast television as well. So important for a CBC and a TSN to step up.
That's exciting. And then again, for anyone here that is just joining us or that is just learning about the league, is there a timeline or something you can share with the audience in terms of when can we get excited to start seeing?
Oh gosh. So I think anyone that's following us, I think you've seen an uptick of media announcements coming out of the NSL and all our clubs. That's because We get bigger and bigger as an organization as clubs every day. So I think you've seen it. Ticket deposits are on sale now. You can get first in line for a season ticket. And I know different clubs are doing different promotions. Obviously, we've got our local club, AFC Toronto, at the back. Support them. They're crushing it already. I know Vancouver, I think, gives out a couple of merch items if you sign up for theirs. I believe Ottawa has the first 500 deposits actually get a signed game in jersey. So there's a couple of really good promotions out there. And just tons more news is going to come out. We've about half the clubs have announced their stadiums, so we got more stadium announcements coming. About half the teams have announced their coaches. We got more coach announcements coming. We've got our on-field apparel partner coming, our championship game date, our opening date. You won't get the full schedule until probably January or early next year, and that's because we share venues, we share stadiums, so we have to wait for the rest of the leagues to set their schedule. So full schedule won't be until the new year. And obviously players. There's going to be a ton of player announcements. Those will start coming out in the next weeks and months, and they'll continue until kickoff in April next year.
This is so exciting. We're witnessing history, and it really does seem like a dream to be up here speaking about a women's professional league in Canada. We do have some audience questions. I would love to get to them. So Laura Harris from St. Catharines, if you want to put your hand up. So Laura has asked, so excited for the NSL. How does this league fit into the soccer landscape with the NWSL and the new USL League? And what lessons from previous leagues inform how this league will be developed sustainably and equitably for women? Great question. Laura.
Laura, that was two questions, I think, but we'll allow it. I'll start with the second one. What lessons have we learned from other leagues? Tons. Like, we did a full, in all the early work to build the business plan, we did a full audit of former and current women's professional sport leagues, women's soccer leagues around the world, other Canadian leagues. Women's sport is a pretty fantastic community where I can pick up the phone to Jessica Berman and the NWSL or anyone in women's sports around the world, and I say, we're building women's professional soccer league in Canada. Do you have this information? And they'll say, how can we help? So everyone's been fantastic. I think to drastically oversimplify what we've learned from other leagues and in the past is we have the foundation in Canada where as long as we build a strong business model and we get the sponsorship dollars, which are showing up, and we get fans in the stands, and then we just grow year over year because we're continually providing visibility and putting on an on-field product, then we're in good shape. And really, in the past in women's sport, what we saw was the CWHL was never a fully professional league. They ran on a charity model, and there wasn't a business model. And what you saw out of former women's pro soccer in the U.S. is that they really overspent in early years without the revenue streams. But as long as you've got that strong business model, which I think everyone has now, and there's a market, then we're in good shape to build.
How does it fit into the landscape?
How does it fit in the landscape? So the fun part about soccer, as we know, is we are the best and most popular sport in the world. And we get to interact with other leagues around the world. So we didn't join the NWSL because we needed to build pathways across Canada. Not just one or two markets. In the one or two markets, we already have a high-performance pathway. We needed to impact hundreds of players and refs and coaches and referees. But now our top teams will get to compete in the Champions League format. That is the magic of football around the world. Women's Champions League is starting. It started already. We didn't have a league yet, so we've got the Whitecaps Girls Academy is competing this year. But 2026 onwards, our professional clubs will compete in the Champions League format against NWSL clubs, against the Mexican League, against everyone else in our region, which is fantastic. As part of that, the Magic of Football 2 will also have a Canadian Championship competition that we also get to build out, also being built as we speak. And that's where we get to interact with other domestic leagues, so like a League One winner. So we can start to build up kind of the Cinderella story type magic from bottom up as well too. So that's how we interact in the Magic of Football type ways, which is really exciting for us.
Perfect. Now we have Colin from Whitby. Colin, are you here? Perfect. So Colin has an interesting question. In Europe, a lot of women's clubs are affiliated with men's clubs. Is this something that you have looked into with the NSL?
Yeah, we looked at this too. And the truth is, most of the women's professional soccer leagues around the world have grown either the federation Federation mandated that all their clubs invested in women, or the Federation operationalized the league themselves, or the biggest men's clubs started investing in their women's clubs, and that's how investment started, especially in France or Spain or England. That's kind of the story. Mexico would be an example of that, was the Federation and the women's league. And in Canada, again, like, the North American market is so unique compared to the rest of the world, where we're new to soccer, and the Canadian landscape in particular is so unique, where we've got our three biggest clubs operating in MLS, as we know. So partnering with them didn't necessarily build us a whole league. And the CPL itself is new, very much investing, growing, but isn't the, you know, 100-year-old league that has giant revenues that can just find some pocket change and start investing in the women's game. But I think with any of these things, it's, you know, greatest strength, greatest weakness. A lot of these leagues and clubs around the world, it's easy for them to find money and put in the women's game. But a lot of the decisions are still being made by the people that run men's football. So you still have a huge spectrum of whether that investment is high level, whether they're making decisions tailored to the women's game or not. Whereas for us, every dollar that comes into what we're doing is going specifically and only to women's professional soccer and our clubs. So all the decisions are tailored to our players, our coaches. So what you've seen around the world, where it's maybe easier to get the investment, the push for them then becomes, how do we build out our women's business so it's actually supporting the women? Or how do we then maybe become a little bit more independent from the men's club? So a lot of the places where it started that way, they're then kind of trying to transition to make sure they've got their own standalone business, where you start with that. So it's strengths and weaknesses to both model. But from what we have in Canada, it really felt that being independent to start was going to be a huge strength for us in the long run.
And then we have Graham from Whitby, which I feel like is right beside Colin.
Yeah, beside Colin. Whitby.
So I think you touched on this briefly, but Graham wants to know, are there any future plans or any hope for a Canadian championship-style tournament with the League One Canada side?
Yes. Yeah, we're chatting with Canada Soccer about that now, so nothing is... Many things still have to be built by next year, but yes, the ideal plan would be, this is by no means finalized, have a bit of a pilot competition next year, so that, because we need to do it by next year to then be able to have a team ready to compete in Champions League by 2026, because there's cutoff dates for qualification for 26 that we would need to meet in 25. So ideally, yes, we do manage to get a pilot year, Canadian Championship, and then we can keep going it from there. But absolutely, League One, lower league teams would be a part of that.
And Tamara from Mississauga. Tamara, are you in the audience? She left, which makes me sad because her question was, you're an inspiration, not a question, just a statement. So... Tamara, thanks for the inspiration, and we all agree. We're very excited for the work that you've done, of course, on the pitch, and then what you're bringing to women's soccer. Some more questions. What can fans expect from the structure and format of the league's inaugural season?
Competition format. You know it's a soccer club when you get asked about competition format. The season will run approximately from mid-April until the end of October, and then there'll be playoffs. It was important to us to have a certain length of season and a certain number of games to be in the right kind of spectrum to be a full women's professional soccer league. Because like I said, it's pretty new, and it used to be that a women's pro league would be about 6 months, and then we have a 6-month off season, which does not make a year-round professional environment, right? So we had to start with a certain length and total number of games. So each club will play 25 regular season games total. If you do the math, that's either 12 or 13 home games. I know that's an odd number, but it worked out best given we have 6 teams to start. The playoff format will be semifinals, so our top 4 teams will qualify. They're going to do a home and away leg because it's soccer and we love that. And then we're going to do a championship game at a neutral location. So that's going to be your regular season format.
Perfect. And now, I mean, obviously with player recruitment and with everything, how are you going to ensure that there is some competitive balance among the teams, especially in those first few seasons?
Yeah, competitive balance is hugely important in any league to make sure there's interest in every game, to make sure all our clubs are succeeding. And we don't have promotion of relegation in North America, so it's a huge piece. The salary cap is, I would say, our primary driver of competitive balance. And we have a few other spending rules to make sure nobody is creating a disadvantage between markets. But I would say number one is the salary cap. And our salary cap is $1.6 million, minimum salary of 50,000 Canadian, which is very competitive globally as a starting point to attract players to Canada.
And of course, the Toronto teams or Vancouver are going to have a bit more attention just because they do have, you know, the MLS team, or there's a bit of just a bigger population in general. How are you going to support those smaller markets to make sure that there is that same interest and that same support?
Yeah, it's a good question. And it's something the league and the owners have a little bit taken the viewpoint. We're not quite sure which markets will necessarily succeed over others, because you've said it. Population is a huge factor. Where there's soccer history is a huge factor. But we've seen it in other leagues, especially North America. It's not necessarily the bigger markets that succeed. Sometimes it's the smaller ones. Like, look at Halifax Wanderers in Halifax. It's been a fantastic success story in that market. So we don't really know where it's going to come out in the wash. And maybe it's harder for Toronto because they're competing against way more sports in this market. So we've taken the view to build in some equalization, competitive balances like salary cap, but also we're going to a bit wait and see over 2 years and keep an eye on it and learn and grow and see what we have to build in as we go.
And this question is maybe a bit soon, but what fan experience are you hoping to have for the fans in stadium and then, of course, online, because that's such a big thing when it comes to brands now?
Yeah, fan experience, that is a great question. First of all, put on a fantastic broadcast so that everyone at home can watch the games in stadium. I think that's in part you guys, right? And we get to create this fan experience from scratch. If you're a fan of a certain club, do not be afraid to reach out to that club, see how you can help. Because we're in this place in Canada where, you know, we know, in soccer, part of the magic of going to the game is the in-stadium experience, is the supporter groups. They're the ones with the songs and the drums. And we know in Canada, we're like a little newer to that. We're not necessarily always as good at it. But then we've got women's sport is very new. And what does that atmosphere mean? And I think if anyone went to PWHL games, you saw, like, it's a pretty cool atmosphere. So we a little bit get to build it from scratch. What is the women's professional soccer atmosphere in each club going to look like? I think that is up to our clubs and to you guys to build that. And that, for me, means supporter groups from day one. So if you want to be a part of that, reach out to a club. We need drums. We need songs. We need something specific to women's soccer. I think we've got the opportunity to build something really uniquely Canadian here that I'm really excited to see how that develops across the country. But you folks are a huge part of that.
And Diana, how can people find more information? Where can they find everything that they need to know to support this league?
Great question. For the league, you can go to nsl.ca. We've got merchandise on there through our shop, nsl.ca/tickets. You can get ticket deposits. I have not memorized all the club websites, but obviously you've got Halifax, Tides, FC. Oh my gosh, I always go west to east. I never go east to west. Let's see if I can do it. Halifax Tides FC, Ottawa Rapid FC, AFC Toronto, Montreal, NSL because they don't have a name yet, Calgary Wild FC, and Vancouver Rise FC. Did I miss one of those up? Did I get it right? Flipped it? Halifax Tides. Vancouver Rise. Flipped them.
Perfect. Now, everyone, I do want to say that you're going to be doing an autograph session. Very exciting. So if you want a chance to chat one-on-one with Diana, or you want the opportunity to get some merch signed, please join her at the NSL booth. But also, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for the work that you're doing for women's soccer in Canada. And please, just a big round of applause for Diana Matheson and the entire Northern Super League team.
Thanks, everyone. And if we don't sell out all the merch today, Joyce has to take it back to her house. So do Joyce a favor and buy a t-shirt or two. Thanks.
Thank you, Diana.
Thanks, Charlie.